So that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted your confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
Well, our title today is Are You Struggling to Stay Motivated? And this is a great place to see some people who are motivated. People are exercising, they're running, they're cycling. They've set a target, they've set a goal. And a lot of them you can see working hard to do it. But it's hard to stay motivated, isn't it, as that journey continues. And I wonder if it's like that in the Christian life as well. Where are you on that journey? Perhaps you started out, perhaps you're very excited about it, very motivated, it's all very new and fresh. Perhaps you're still feeling your way, trying to decide whether this is a journey that you want to be on and whether you want to go where it's leading you and whether you want to follow Jesus. Or maybe like me, you've been a Christian for a while, for years, for decades. And there can be times when you perhaps don't feel as motivated as you did in the past to keep going and to persevere. Well, there are two things that you can do about that. One is you can look back at the way you've come and the journey that you've taken. You can say, well, look, it was worthwhile. It was worth it. It wasn't easy. I don't want that to go to waste, all this effort I've put to get this far. And the other thing you can do is you can look ahead at the destination. You can look at your goal and the reward and the purpose and the aim that you set out with and what you want to achieve at the end. Well, our writer in Hebrews chapter 10 is telling us to do exactly that, to look back and to look forward. The whole chapter, the passage that we're looking at today, is really summed up in some words in Hebrews 10 verse 36. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't throw away your confidence looking back at what has happened already. Don't throw that away, but look forward. It will be richly rewarded at the end of the journey. Hebrews uses the metaphor of athletes running a race. You can't quite tell that it's there, but it is there if you're looking at the original translation. It's there. That word, a contest or conflict, is a sporting metaphor, and it's there as well in Hebrews chapter 12 when it talks about running a race. And we are on that journey. If we are Christians, we're going to look at both of those aspects of it. We're going to look back and see what we've achieved so far. We're going to look forward at what's to come in the future. Well, we're going to look first at the first half of the reading, which is saying, look back at how far you've come. Look back at how far you've come on this Christian journey, verses 32 to 35. I'm going to read from it. It would be great if you had your Bible open in front of you as well. Doesn't matter if it's not the same translation. I'm sure the meaning will be the same. But let me read from verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering, endured in a great contest or full of suffering. It's the language of an athlete in a race, enduring a contest and working at it really hard. And the writer is saying, remember when you first became Christians, remember that time when the community of believers there first saw the light, first discovered Jesus. And the good news of how to know him. And what a difference that made to your lives. What a great start you had in the Christian life. Those days when you were full of passion and you were wholehearted and you endured even when it was tough. And they really did endure. Verse 33 describes that for us. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insults and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Sometimes they were publicly insulted. Because they were Christians, people didn't take them seriously. They were humiliated, publicly embarrassed, and written off because of their Christian faith. And sometimes people took it further and they were actually persecuted and mistreated. And even if that didn't happen to them, it happened to people they knew. And yet they didn't disappear into the background and hide and stay out of the way and say, oh, I'm not a Christian. They went to help. They went to visit those people in prison. They stood side by side with them and were known as fellow Christians and supported their cause, even though they knew that that might mean they might be treated the same way, spoken of the same way, written off in the same way. It was a great sign of their Christian faith. I'm going to put a picture of the Emperor Claudius up on the screen for you now. He was emperor at the time all of this happened. He sent believers in the Christian God. He sent them away from the city of Rome in AD 49. He treated them unfairly. They were seen very negatively by the Roman authorities. Jewish Christians like Priscilla and Aquila, mentioned in Acts chapter 18, forced to leave their city and leave their homes behind. They were Jewish Christians. The readers of Hebrews were Jewish Christians too, possibly also based in Rome, though we don't know that for sure. One writer from that time tells us what it was like. Not a writer from the Bible, but from another source, tells us their enemies overran the houses now left empty and began to loot them, dividing up the contents like the spoils of war. Another writes of someone returning to discover that most of his possessions had been carried off during his absence. And then verse 34, you suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Do you notice that word joyful? Joyful. They joyfully accepted the confiscation of their properties, whether it was their homes being confiscated by the magistrate or by the mob. It was taken from them and they accepted that joyfully. How could they be joyful about something like that? Well, they knew that they hadn't really lost anything of importance because they had better possessions and lasting possessions. They had a place in God's home, in God's eternal home. They may have lost their home, but God's home was open to them. They had confidence to enter it, and they knew they would be there for all eternity. A far, far better home and a far more lasting home than anything that could be taken from them in this life. So they were joyful about it. It's the same language that Hebrews uses to speak of Jesus, by the way. Hebrews chapter 12, he for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew it was worth it to die for us on the cross. He knew it would bring brothers and sisters into eternal life and into his Father's home and his Father's family. And he knew that he would rise from the dead for all eternity. And so he joyfully, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, endured the suffering. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? At the moment, we have had a lot of things confiscated from us, not because of our Christian faith, but just like everybody else, there's lots of things that are normally part of our life that are taken from us, perhaps more to come. We don't know. I read in the newspaper, based on current rates of consumption during an average lifetime, each of us can expect to dispose of 12 washing machines, 10 fridges, 8 cookers, 3 dishwashers, 35 pieces of IT equipment, and 145 other electrical household appliances. Well, no wonder there are large queues outside of the disposal tips, the places that you can go. A lot of them closed anyway, but those that open, large queues. No wonder. We've lived our lives working hard to earn money, to get an education so we can earn money, so that we can have a big home, so that we can fill our home with all this stuff that is headed for a rubbish tip. It's not a lasting possession. And so how do we feel when it's taken from us? Well, it's understandable to find that difficult. But it is possible to accept it joyfully. that's what these Christians were able to do. They were able to do it because of their confidence in Jesus Christ. We can throw away everything else. We're going to lose it all in the end anyway. But don't throw away your confidence. That's what the writer is saying. Verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. That word confidence is at the heart of Hebrews. Chapters 5 to 10, you probably remember the last few Sundays, I've explained that the middle chapters of Hebrews summarize that the heart of it, all about the cross, all about Jesus dying for us. Jesus is our ultimate high priest. He's our ultimate sacrifice. There's a bookend at the start and the end of those chapters. We were looking a few weeks ago at this one, a little summary of the central point of Hebrews. It's there in Hebrews 10, verse 19 at the end of that. And it says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence. That's what we have if we know that Jesus died for us and we trust that. We know that everything we could possibly need forever is already ours and can't be taken from us no matter what else is. So don't throw it away. Look back at that journey you've made. If it's been a long journey or a short journey, you put faith in Jesus. Stick with that faith. Stick with your best moments of faith, your most wholehearted, your most passionate moments of trusting in Jesus. It is a way to be joyful and to be confident. That's the first half of the Bible reading. Look back at how far you've come. The second part of it, verses 35 to 38, we'll look at more briefly. Look ahead at where you're going. Look ahead at where you're going. He's already spoken about those better and lasting possessions. And said in verse 35 that your confidence will be richly rewarded. There is nothing wrong with being rich, but riches in this world won't last. And it's no good placing our confidence in them. And we're losing them, aren't we, at the moment? We hope the Prime Minister's announcements today will help do some damage limitation for the economy, but we're not as wealthy as we were, and we soon will be less wealthy, by all accounts. But the riches that we're looking forward to with God in his home for all eternity, those riches cannot be taken from us and last forever. So persevere, run the race towards those. Look ahead at the goal. Verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Eternal riches are a promise. They come because God says so, not because we earn them. But that we are called first to do the will of God. What does he mean to do the will of God? Well, he's already talked about doing the will of God and talked about this in the same chapter of the Bible. He was talking about Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. That was back in verse 9. Then Jesus said, here I am, I have come to do your will. Jesus said, I've come into the world to do the will of God, which means suffering on the cross. You might remember in the garden, he prayed to his Father, not my will, but yours be done. And if we are going to follow Jesus and have our confidence in Jesus who died for us, it's not always going to be easy for us either. There will be suffering. The race of persevering will be hard. There will be times when it costs us something to love and follow Jesus. But there is a choice to be made here. And we need to remember that the race is not going to last forever. The suffering is not going to last forever. We will look back on it and say it was just a little while. And that's how Isaiah put it. If you look in verse 37, those first words are taken from Isaiah, in just a little while. It's from Isaiah chapter 26. It's not saying that our lives will be short. It's not saying that Jesus will return within months or years. These words were written 700 years before Hebrews. It could be a long wait. But when you get to the end of it, it will feel like just a short time. When you spend all eternity enjoying riches with God, you'll look back on the race and how hard it felt at the time, and you'll say, but it was over in a moment. It was such a short thing. And then there are some other words from the Old Testament, from Habakkuk. He who is coming will come and will not delay. It may feel like a long wait for Jesus to return. It may feel like a long wait to enjoy those riches with him forever. But the promise is there in Habakkuk. Look, he is coming. There is an appointed time. There is a right time for this. It's not yet, but he's not going to delay. He will be here and he will put it right. Habakkuk writing to Israel at a time when they were being persecuted. They were being treated very badly by a nation called the Chaldeans. And some were complaining and saying, look, God, how long are you going to let people get away with this and treat us this way? And God says to them, well, look, not forever. I'm not going to let this carry on forever. I will come. I will put everything right. I won't delay, but you are going to have to wait and keep going. You're going to need faith. You're going to need to stick with your faith and not shrink back from your faith. And this idea of being right with God by faith, actually, didn't start in the New Testament. It goes right back to Habakkuk and even before that. And there are more words from Habakkuk in verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Do you see the two opposites there? The righteous one, the one that God sees as being right, the one that God approves of. It's not because that person has led a good life and led a perfect life. Nobody's done that. It's because that person who's led the righteous life, that person is righteous in God's sight because of their faith. They live by faith, not by doing good things, but by faith. My righteous one will live by faith. The other person is someone that God takes no pleasure in. He's not righteous. He's not approved of by God. God is not pleased with him because that person shrinks back from their faith and fails to persevere and fails to keep trusting through their lives. Those are the two groups of people, the ones who are right with God by faith, the ones who shrink back from faith and are not right with God. And we've got to choose which group we belong to. And the Hebrew readers had to choose that as well. Verse 39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That is the choice these Christians had made. And the writer was sure that they would be able to stick with that faith. And I think we can take it that they did, because this letter of Hebrews made it into our Bibles and was kept for us down the centuries and passed on by those who first received it to generations of believers afterwards and passed on to us. So how are we doing with the challenges of the lockdown, with the struggles of it? Well, they're not struggles we're facing, because we're Christians, they're struggles everyone is facing, but we can face them in a different way. Can we joyfully accept some of these things? Can we keep our focus on the better and lasting possessions? Can we have confidence in that outcome? British Olympic swimmer Rebecca Adlington talked about how hard it can be to compete, to contest as an athlete in a race. She talked about her training. She said, your body is working so hard, your muscles are burning, you're thinking, just let me get to the end. My body is screaming at me, I can't manage all this, I need a rest. But she could manage it. She didn't give up. She did persevere. Here she is in the 2008 Olympics. The pain and the training has paid off. She's there with her two gold medals representing the United Kingdom. As the finish line approached, she didn't shrink back. She didn't give up. All that she'd worked for, she kept her eyes on the prize and she claimed it. And may we be like that. May we do that. I don't know how long a race we have ahead of us. We're all waiting to see what announcements are made, but I'm guessing it won't be very clear. We won't know for sure. We're looking forward to life going back as normal, and it just seems to be always a little bit further away. But let's not keep our eyes on that prize. Let's keep our eyes on the final prize, which is better and more lasting. Let's look back at how far we've come and not let it go to waste. If there have been moments of wholehearted, passionate faith, let's stick with those and persevere in them. And let's look ahead to the final prize of being with God and enjoying his riches forever. And let's persevere in that.